accession number 18493, reel 26.
Mr. Lupton, reel 26.
Yes, when we left in November, we left from Naples, sailed from Naples, and by that time it had got round to quite thick frost in the mornings. We were up above the town of city of Naples, in a hilly place, and it really was very frosty then. But we had had a lot of rain between the middle of September and that time, middle November about.
Did this make the going around? You were saying some of the places you had to go to were pretty remote. I mean, did this make that particularly difficult? What sort of vehicles did you have to cope with the roads?
We were mainly using a 30 hundredweight truck, small one, on which we could carry all that we needed to carry, including even these big barrels of wine. We can even carry those on there, as well as fruit and veg or whatever. Eggs was another thing too that we had to buy if we could, but not every. A lot of farms still had quite a few chickens, I think, and still had quite a lot of eggs, so we could buy some. But we had to go to some of these places in very remote areas, you know, lone farms or small village, very small villages as they are sometimes there, usually up on the top of a hill. So we did manage to keep the vehicle fairly full. There were occasions when we had to be out overnight, you know, stay either in the truck or in one of the farmhouses. People were always very generous, putting you up and feeding you with spaghetti. And there was very little meat, as I said. We got very used to spaghetti with tomato sauce, their own tomato sauce, homemade and so on.
What was the feeling? I mean, the Italians, until only a couple of months before this, had been fighting for the Axis. And, okay, I mean, they gave in quickly and they turned around and actually started fighting for us, a couple of divisions on our side. But what was the feeling with the people that you were engaged with here? How did they feel about the war? And
well, let's say that we, having got to wherever it was that we met the people, as far as they were concerned, the war had gone, because we were there and we wouldn't let the Germans come back again. And they seemed to be very happy, but they were probably quite happy with the Germans. I mean, the Italians are people like that. They're happy anyway. I can't remember meeting any anti-British Italians in any place. Neither then, nor earlier in the war when they got chased out of North Africa. They were all very friendly people and seemed very well disposed to us. Mind you, the war had made a mess of things for them, but then I don't think they ever really thought they were going to get into the war properly, even though Mussolini said he was joining up with Hitler. The ordinary Italian, I don't think, had any desire to be in a war anyway. So, you know, it was just a very haphazard thing which happened to them.
Did you ever get any feeling about, or have any conversations with anybody about Mussolini?
No. I had earlier, but that was before the war, when I went to, well, I went to Lake Lugano, really, and moved over into Italy and went down to Milan and so on to have a look. When there were Mussolini sayings painted on all sorts of building, and most people, or should I say a lot of people, just laughed at him and them and his sayings. He was the boss, but they couldn't care less, and they'd rather be rid of him than with him. Seemed to be the general opinion.
This is what you picked up immediately before the war?
Yes. 1938, was it? 37 or 38, I forget which. When I had a very pleasant 10-day holiday for £9, or 9-day holiday for £10, I forget which at the moment, including travelling out and staying in Lugano and so on.
I know exchange rates have changed, but that does sound remarkably cheap. How did you manage that?
I don't know. Some company was doing it. I think Swiss Travel or somebody.
I wish.
Yes.
Anyway, you didn't sort of detect any different feeling now? I mean, after they've been in the war and had lost a lot of their family, I should imagine, their sons and husbands and things, and now the war's all over.
Yes, and also lumps of their territory overseas as well. No, they didn't seem to be. I suppose some people who might have left, who might have lost husbands or sons or something, they might have been a bit more directly against us. But majority of people in Italy seem to be only too happy to see us. And appeared to prefer us to the Germans, but of course that may have been just because we were English and we were there and the Germans had gone.
did you stay at this particular job, fruiterer and vegetable stall holder, until the end of your time with the unit?
Yes. Well, eventually the unit moved back down the coast a bit, to a place called Porto Recanati. And I remember still being on this job whilst the unit was at Porto Recanati, because we were there for a week or so before we got our lot were thinned out and taken away. And I was still going around some of the villages around Recanati, which is a separate town a little further inland, and still doing the purchasing whilst we were there. And it was only a bit later on, I think we were there about a week, the whole of the battalion, and then they thinned out the people who were going on this Python home-going trip, and moved us off to Perugia. We went for a few days, and then down to Naples, this camp outside Naples, on the edge of Naples. And yes, I have a opera program somewhere around, which We saw some opera, a couple of operas, while we were in Naples waiting to come home. And I noticed the other day that the price of this program, which was in Italian and English, was 4 lire. Which nowadays wouldn't even buy you a Sinner's strip of bread.
This move out of the line and the winning out of those people for Python, this, from what you were saying, is around about the end of October, beginning of November?
Well, it was beginning of November, yes. First few days of November, yes. Because we sailed, I should think, mid-November. I can't remember the exact date. And it was curious because our second tank's band was on board the ship coming home. Never seen them anywhere overseas, but still they were there somehow. And I don't know whether you've heard of the bloke called Nat Ganella, was a trumpeter. He was in the band then. And he just died a few days ago. 90, I think. But anyway, one of his favourite tunes was the Isle of Capri, which he played as we sailed by the Isle of Capri, together with all the second tanks.
Yes, Nat Ganella, very famous.
Mm.
You talked about Python.
Yes.
Would you explain what that was?
Well, it was really a gathering together of people who had served, mostly anyway, who had served, quite a long period overseas, certainly 4.5 years. One or two may have gone home on other grounds, but mostly we were people who had served a long time overseas, coming home for our first home leave.
So, and it was quite definitely then a leave system.
Yes, it was a leave, because all we had had in the intervening period was local leave overseas, which be 4 or 5 days or something. And so this was a question of getting home and seeing what home looked like again, and which was very awkward for me because I understood from a letter I received from my parents just before or about the time we were at Naples that they were moving. I hadn't a clue where they were moving to, and I didn't know where I was going to have to go when I got home. I understood they were coming up north, because we had lived at Wallington near Croydon for, it'd be 15 years then, they had anyway. And so when we moved, we sailed into Gourock, then we went down to Catterick camp, and it was only when I was at Catterick camp that I learnt I had to come over to Stockport and not to go back down to Wallington or anywhere else. So I didn't even know where Stockport was, never mind where we were living.
If this was a leave system, I mean, how long were you given to understand the leave would be?
Well, it was more or less a week per year abroad. I had nearly 5 weeks, I think, and which I spent in Stockport, and met my wife by accident, I suppose, because my mother said, she'd been into the local bank and said to the girl behind the counter who was in charge of that place, have a son coming home and been abroad a long time. what would you suggest he could do, you see? So she took me around to see this girl, and here we are.
So that's how you met your wife?
Yes.
So why, what was your mother's idea, I suppose, that the lady in question was more sort of your age and therefore was likely to know what...
Yes, and she was local and knew everything about the town and what was on and what could be done and what couldn't and so on, you know. Moving around was not so easy. It was fewer buses and trams and all the rest of it. And so it was a question of finding. It was then early December, so it was a question of what to do around Christmas, New Year, see, so 3 weeks after we met, we were engaged.
Well, that was quick moving.
Yes. Yeah. And 4 months after that, we were married.
Yeah, very quick.
Yes. So, there we are. But it was... mind you, the weather was terrible when we first moved into Gourock, typical western Scottish weather, you know, and but we were glad to be back in it. And to get on a train that had seats and things and travel down eventually to Catterick. Catterick was appalling. Well, that was in January when there'd been a lot of snow and ice and so on. Coming back from 4.5 years in warm climes was a bit of a shock to the system. But we managed to go and scrounge enough coal anyway to fill the boilers in the rooms, which we needed. We needed. However many clothes you put on, it cut through. So, and I was there for a couple of months, I suppose, and then I got downgraded from this, having this perforated eardrum and trouble with it and so on, and so I didn't have to go back and do any more overseas service. In fact, they were just waiting until they get rid of me, I think. But
this 4.5 or 5 weeks that you had earned from overseas, I'm just thinking about the travelling time. I don't know how long it took you to get back from Naples and then Gourock to Catterick and so on, but is travelling time included in the leave?
No, it was that was the amount of leave I was granted when I was at Catterick, to go from there to home. The travelling home was excluded. That was part of your service, more or less. I think we were home in 2 weeks maximum.
2 weeks from Naples to Gourock?
Yeah, about that. I mean, it was we were on this Reina del Pacifico again, and it was a lovely ship that could really sail when it wanted to, and the accommodation was good, the food was good, and time passed, yes, I should think 2 weeks, because there wasn't so much, there was scarcely any German, there wasn't any German competition in the Mediterranean. And if there had been any U-boats or anything, they certainly didn't bother us. Coming home, we came up the Irish Sea to Gourock.
Did you stop off anywhere? I'm just thinking 2 weeks seems rather a long time. I'm not sure about journey times.
No, we didn't stop off anywhere, but they would all ships had to do a lot of zigzagging to counteract possibility of being hit by U-boats or something, and so we, I don't know how many miles we sailed, but what with that and some of our other sailing we'd done, we did a lot more than a lot of Navy blokes. So, yes, it 2 weeks is what I seem to remember. The last bit sailing up the Clyde, of course, was slow too, to Gourock.
You say you were medically downgraded at one point. I mean, how did this come about? What was the process by which you were downgraded? Because I mean, had it got worse or something, or?
It had really got worse, yes, and I don't know what it was. I went down from whatever A1 down to B2 or something, for which in very recent years I got a war pension. And then the other day it just set off again, inflamed and so on, for no reason at all. I just finished my pills on that. Apparently it had got bad again, and so they checked through my records and found when this thing had happened, and they decided that I wasn't fit or something to go back onto tanks as a tankie in any way, and so downgraded me, which was very fortunate for me too, because a lot of my friends who'd been all around the places I'd been and all the rest of it got called up to go to Korea later on. I was then out of the army altogether. I mean, I wasn't even in the
reserve
for more than 2 or 3 weeks instead of another 6 years as I had been booked.
How did you feel about this downgrading?
I didn't mind at all. I couldn't see what I was going to do in England, and I did very little at all, apart from being moved eventually from Catterick down to somewhere just on the outskirts of Newmarket, and I spent the rest of my time there. Until I was demobbed. So down there, I think I was in charge of cookhouses or something, and also beer, and I used to go to the local brewery and get these 90-gallon barrels and so on. And, they apparently kept me on the same kind of job I'd been in Italy.
You've got the training for it.
Yes.
About the medical side of things, did you get a what sort of medical examination did you get on this?
I just went to had to go to an ENT, ear, nose and throat place near forget where it was. York, I think, or somewhere anyway, or maybe Richmond, yes, Richmond. And somebody looked at me, checked me over, and just sent the report in. I didn't hear what it was, but sent the report in, and they said downgraded, so that was it.
Is it medical, RAMC, or was it
civilian? Yes, RAMC, I had to go and see ENT man. I had I'd seen the odd ones different times in whilst I was still in the forces, but nobody ever bothered then. I was there, and so I was staying there.
So, you say you eventually moved down to Newmarket. What unit was this with?
I can never remember what number it was. It was something RAC, but don't ask me which, because in my discharge papers, wherever they are, I think I've got 147 RAC, and something else is 151 or something. I don't know which. Whether one of them was the place I got demobbed at Ashton-under-Lyne, or whether it was the one down in Newmarket, it never registered. I and a few others who were down there were second tanks, and we stayed second tanks, as far as we were concerned.
What was this? Is it a holding, or a training, or a reinforcement unit?
It was really a holding, I think you could say, holding people for demob eventually, but training, we didn't, I don't remember doing any serious training apart from a bit of running, a bit of marching and this kind of thing. Never any military training. It was somebody's park, I forget where it was. Perhaps if I get down to Newmarket sometime, I might look around and see. And they just had a few Nissen huts in it and under the trees, and there we were.
So there were no young soldiers or anything to train or to march about?
No. No, just a lot of old youngsters.
So if you got back... You were here for Christmas, weren't you? So you joined this unit, wherever it was in Newmarket, when? Somewhere, January, February, did you say?
Late February, I would say. February. I was in Catterick for at least a month, perhaps a bit more than that. Yes. Through all the bad weather, anyway, I know that, the cold weather. And yes, it must have been late February when we got moved down to Newmarket. And that was a curious time too, because I think it was the 1st of May when we expected spring to be there. We woke up one morning to about 6 inches of snow down in Newmarket. But I got quite used to the places around Six Mile Bottom and Newmarket itself and a few other little villages round about. And then, of course, not far away was the big American air base and so on. It was not bad, but it's not a place that I can remember with any relish, really.
What was the feeling about the war at this time? I mean, was there a feeling that it was nearly all over? Or?
Well, the armies, American, British, and others, French and all the rest of them, were ploughing steadily across Europe, so it had to end before long, the war in Europe anyway. And, of course, it ended in May that year, 45. But then there were still the people out in the Far East. And they couldn't really see any end to that until the Americans dropped the bombs on Japan. People could feel, yes, the Germans, they weren't actually crawling home, but they were being driven home and right across Germany and across from the other side by the Russians too. So the war had to end before long. They just couldn't keep it up any longer.
And this was a generally accepted feeling, was it?
I would say so, yes. Mm. But it seemed to take a long time to end before they eventually...